You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, November 15th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio. Coming up, we are previewing Thursday Night Football and the early Sunday games from Week 11. Here we are. Week 11 is on the way, and we got, I think by my count, a month essentially until the fantasy playoffs start, so this is big now. Things are getting important.
Yeah, and I know it's easy to be like, oh, I'm 4-6. And every league I'm in, if you're 4-6 right now, you are 100% in the hunt for the playoffs. So keep pushing. 4 weeks left in the regular season, but you could still make that push and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I had a league, in fact, our Fantasy Live League. I started 0-5. I am at 4-6. Thought I was going to get to 5-5, and then Sean McDermott decided to just randomly bench James Cook for most of the game. It didn't help that Tyler Conklin deflected a touchdown pass away from Garrett Wilson. But I'm 4-6, and I'm feeling a lot better than I was, say, a month ago. So, you know.
Yeah, most 6-4 or 5-5 is the last playoff spot in almost every league.
Yeah, like, so you're in it. If you're still hanging around just below 500, you got a shot. Make some trades, a couple of waiver wire moves, and you're right back in this thing. First, let's start, as we always do around this time, with our fantasy headlines. And a big one that I woke up to, and probably a lot of people on the West Coast woke up to, and maybe some folks on the East Coast were seeing over their morning coffee. Deshaun Watson will undergo season-ending shoulder surgery. Maybe the best misdirection play he's had all year. While we were all looking at the walking boot, it was the shoulder that was going to take him out for the remainder of the year. Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, has announced that Dorian Thompson-Robinson will get the start, the rookie out of UCLA. So DTR making his second career start. His two starts have come against the Ravens and against TJ Watt and the Steelers. Godspeed, DTR. Anyway, though, looking around, we're not starting Thompson-Robinson. We know that. But is there anybody in this offense that we can trust moving forward?
Amari Cooper. And even Amari Cooper takes a big hit. He goes from being like a wide receiver two that you want to start every week with wide receiver one upside to being more like a boomer bust wide receiver two, three with Watson this year, almost 18 fantasy points per game, wide receiver 11 on the year without him, wide receiver 57 at just 9 fantasy points per game. But I still think the upside is far too high where most weeks you could start him because he could catch a long one at any point. And then the running backs, I feel like they're probably going to rely even heavier on the running game with Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt moving forward.
So you talk about Amari Cooper and maybe depending on the matchup, this week a pretty good week for as much as the pass rush is difficult to deal with in Pittsburgh. The secondary, maybe not so much, giving up the fifth most fantasy points per game to the wide receiver position. Hasn't been much better over the last month. Still giving up somewhere around the middle of the pack when it comes to fantasy points per game to wide receivers. So Amari Cooper still in play. You can probably say goodbye to Elijah Moore, David Njoku, anybody else in that wide receiver room. Probably not going to be in play for the rest of the year for the Cleveland Browns. Some good news on the quarterback front, though. Justin Fields is expected to start against the Detroit Lions this week. He missed the last month or so with a thumb injury. Tyson Bagent did a fair job in his stead here, I think, all things considered. But with Fields back, that certainly gives the rest of the offense a boost in Chicago. As for Fields himself, would you start him right away?
It depends on options, but in most cases, yes, I would. But like, let's say in his absence, you picked up CJ Stroud. I'm fine playing CJ Stroud over him. You could have picked up Josh Dobbs. I'm okay using him there. Like him versus Brock Purdy, Sam Howell, that's more of a conversation. But don't forget how well Justin Fields has been playing before he got hurt. He was running more. He had top 27 fantasy points in his last two full games. So yeah, maybe you want to take a wait and see approach, but in most instances where I have Justin Fields, I will be starting him.
And I would say that this week in particular, going against the Lions, they're going to have to score points.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to put the ball in Fields' hands, which means maybe him throwing, more likely him running, but whatever. They're going to have to do things to try and keep up with this Lions defense. And for as good as the Detroit defense was early in the season, last few weeks, they've given up some yards, they've given up some points. You know, admittedly, some of it was to Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, and maybe that's a different situation than what the Bears have, but there's going to be a potential for the Bears to have to score a lot of points. So one quarterback down, one quarterback back. In the end, it turns out to be a wash at the quarterback position. Okay, let's dive into week 11 because it is here. We will start, as we always do, with the TNF game preview. And this week, we got a dandy. You know, we have been punished with primetime games for the last few weeks. So we are owed this one. Thank you, Roger Goodell. Bengals at Ravens. You can see it at 8:15 Eastern on Prime Video. We got two teams with definite playoff aspirations, with hopes to go deep into the playoffs, and with two marquee quarterbacks, but also two teams coming off some heartbreaking losses. The Bengals losing a shocker against the Houston Texans, the Ravens coughing one up against the Cleveland Browns. So both coming in licking their wounds a little bit. Let's do a couple of more or lesses, though. More or less, 240 passing yards for Joe Burrow. I will caveat it by saying he's had 225 or fewer passing yards, I think, in every meeting against the Baltimore Ravens.
That is a great stat. I originally had less as my answer, but I'm sitting here and I think I'm going to change it to more. Joe Burrow, his last three games, 283, 348, 347. He's been throwing the ball just a whole lot. And the Ravens offense, they have been a buzzsaw this year. They are going to put up points against the Bengals. So I think Joe Burrow will have to throw throughout this game. It won't be like they're playing from with a lead or anything like that, in my estimation. So I think catch-up mode Joe gets him over 240 passing yards.
All right, let me correct myself. It is not 225 or less in every game. It's just the last three games he's had fewer than 225 passing yards. A couple years ago, he actually really went big against the Baltimore Ravens. But the last three times they've met, Baltimore has kept him in check. I think that's going to be the case this week as well. I'm going to say less than 240 passing yards for Joe Burrow. I would say that I think he has the better fantasy game of the two quarterbacks. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson in a little bit. Because the Bengals starting to really get going offensively, Burrow getting the ball out to all his targets. So I think he has the better fantasy day, but I don't know that he necessarily has a ton of passing yards doing it. On the other side, more or less than 50 rushing yards for Lamar Jackson. It's a number that he hasn't really hit as often as you would expect this year.
Yeah, I'm still going to say more because I'm an optimist, potentially. like, he hasn't hit that number a whole lot, but like, he's been in the 40s and in the high 30s and a couple over 50 already this year. Not translating to huge fantasy numbers this season for Lamar, but this will be, in my opinion, a close game, one that the Ravens really need to win, I think. So that's usually when we see Lamar kind of put on his cape and put the team on his back. So I don't know if he's going to have the biggest passing game numbers because he's facing Lou Anarumo, but I think he'll end up running a little bit more to make up for that.
Yeah, I'm gonna say less too, just because he's had fewer than 50 rushing yards in 6 of 10 games so far this season, averaging just about 48 rushing yards per game, which would be the second lowest total of his career if that stands. Maybe he does put on the cape. Here's the thing. I want to be wrong about this. And I said on Fantasy Live earlier in the week that Lamar Jackson right now is a QB2 until further notice because he's had 13 or fewer fantasy points in three straight games. And I posted it on TikTok. Somebody was like, well, he's the QB8 right now. It's a hell of a QB2. And I'm like, look, I want to be wrong about this. But just the recent track record has shown that right now Lamar Jackson is not playing great football, and he's certainly not playing great fantasy football. So if I'm wrong, I will gladly be wrong, but I'm not optimistic about what he's going to offer this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Nonetheless, it should be a fun game to watch. And like I said, the last few Thursday nights have not been all that easy on the eyes. So we're excited to see this one between Cincinnati and Baltimore. To the rest of the week 11 slate, four teams on a bye this week: Atlanta, Indianapolis, New England, and New Orleans. When it comes to fantasy quarterbacks, nothing of value will be lost this week. We will miss some key players on some key positions. No Jonathan Taylor, for instance, no Bijan Robinson, no Alvin Kamara. So maybe taking some hits at running back, but at quarterback, not missing a whole lot. Let's get into it, though. Cowboys at the Panthers. Dallas coming off that thumping of the New York Football Giants. The Panthers looking for just their second win of the season. Last week, we all thought it was Tony Pollard week. We all got excited, and we all sat around and cried in our collective beers on Twitter. We all thought, okay, we can't do this anymore. We can't do this to ourselves. And then we looked at the schedule like, oh, the Panthers are up. So we're buying back in, right? Is this the week it finally happens for Tony Pollard?
If not now, then when?
Right.
Like, I truly don't know what... If he disappoints against the Panthers, then you could just pull him out of your fantasy lineup, I guess. But I think it happens this week. The Panthers have allowed the fifth most rushing yards, most rushing touchdowns, fourth most receiving touchdowns to running backs. So high chance that he finds the end zone there. And their secondary isn't elite or anything like that, but they're in better shape and better at stopping the pass than the Giants are. So I think this could be a game where we see the Cowboys rely on the run a little bit more than we have the past couple of weeks. I think you start Tony Pollard, and I think Rico Dowdle is in play as a sleeper this week.
I think it happens this week for Tony Pollard, partially because of the matchup, but more than anything, I think it happens just because the chatter is going to permeate this Cowboys locker room, right? As much as players and coaches say they don't pay attention to social media, they try to block out the noise, it is unavoidable, and I think everybody is going to be aware of the fact that Pollard is not having a great season, that he, in a week where literally every Cowboy player, it seems, in history, I think Tony Dorsett, Michael Irvin, and Danny White all scored touchdowns for the Cowboys. Those are old Cowboy players. Look them up. A week where they scored touchdowns, Tony Pollard didn't get in the end zone. I think everybody's going to hear about that. And so this might not be a specific squeaky wheel game. It might not be Pollard complaining about it. I just think the noise is going to be so much that they will get Pollard into the end zone this week. So I think if there's ever a week for it to happen, it is this week. So if you got Tony Pollard, give it one. It's the Notorious B.I.G. special. Give it one more chance.
And Tony, if you're listening, maybe complain a little bit.
Maybe complain a little bit.
Just a little. It seems to work.
Maybe squeak. Maybe squeak. That's all I'm saying. Steelers at the Browns. We mentioned no Deshaun Watson for the remainder of the season. The Steelers continuing to go with Kenny Pickett. If you like offense, this is not the game for you. I'm not expecting a whole lot of it. In the meantime, in that backfield, the Steelers, admittedly, the running backs are getting a little bit better right now. Najee Harris has been nice the last couple of weeks. Jaylen Warren is the quote-unquote starter, for whatever that's worth. Would you start either of them against this ferocious Browns defense?
I think they're both more like flex options than anything this week. But again, we're talking about all the running backs that are off because of bye, and then there's a whole bunch that are still out due to injury. So maybe you're in a pinch, you need to plug them in, and I think that's fine. But like, and I have a team where I'm debating Jaylen Warren, Daryl Henderson, and Noah Brown as my flex. So like, that kind of puts it, and I think at this point in the year, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren are like the pointing Spider-Man gift. They're the same player, pretty much. So, at least for fantasy output. So, to me, they're not even a slam dunk flex in this matchup.
They really aren't. But look, I will give credit where it's due, because we have sort of hammered Najee Harris for being inefficient for most of the season. The last few weeks, though, he is playing better football, giving you double-digit fantasy points, I think, 3 weeks in a row now. And an interesting wrinkle to last week, while Warren was elevated to starter status, it was Najee Harris that got all of the work in the 2-minute drill, which is really key because it's a way to sort of rack up quick fantasy points, getting a lot of dump offs, a lot of catches and run after the catch. I don't know if that's a new thing or if it just sort of worked out this week. That's going to be something to sort of pay attention to. So I would give them both a shot, as you mentioned, nothing more than a flex, but I would give them a shot this week because it does seem like with Kenny Pickett struggling to get the ball out to his receivers, that's not a new thing, but it does seem like the Steelers are trying to sort of counteract that by getting the running backs more involved. So they do have a little more hope than maybe they did before. Bears at the Lions. Justin Fields is back. That's good news. The Lions have been pretty good for the most part defensively. How are you feeling about the Bears running backs this week?
Not great. I think, and the reason I like, there's no questions with the Lions offense. Like, you know, you're starting Goff and you're starting the running backs and you're starting Amon-Ra and Laporta. But the Bears on the other side, even with Justin Fields, I do not feel great about their running backs. One, because I'm expecting Khalil Herbert to return and Deontay Foreman has been playing really well. He's not going to go away. We could see them just rotate drives or something like that. But then the Lions, they've allowed the fifth fewest catches, fourth fewest fantasy points, second fewest rushing yards to running backs this season. So it's an extremely stingy matchup. And we're not sure how the workload is going to get distributed if Khalil Herbert is back this week. Even if he's not, like, Foreman has such a low floor that I don't think either one of them are anywhere close to must start.
Yeah, they're tough starts this week. As you mentioned, Justin Fields coming back is going to change things because he's going to take some of those rushing opportunities. I do think, you know, if I'm going to put them in sort of some sort of ranking order, it's Herbert, then it's Foreman, then it's Roshan Johnson. He seems to be kind of the last man there in that running back room. But this is not a week that I think they're going to get a whole lot of opportunity. If somehow the Bears can slow down the Lions and keep it close, maybe they get some chances. But if the Detroit offense does what it does, it's going to force the Bears into a negative game script and to throw the football. And that doesn't really bode well, especially for Deontay Foreman. Cardinals at the Texans. You got Kyler Murray, who is back now and looked pretty good in his return, against CJ Stroud, who is hotter than a Phoenix sidewalk in August. Your expectations for Kyler in his second game?
I am excited for Kyler Murray. I would be starting him. I have him as a start this week. I said last week to take a wait and see approach and make sure he looked like Kyler. And yeah, he looked like Kyler. Not only throwing the ball, he is the fastest player on any field that he steps on ever. Like, his body just moves faster than everyone else on the field. I always say he looks like he has a mushroom in Mario Kart and everyone else does not. But 17 fantasy points last week without a passing touchdown. One bounced off Marquise Brown's hands. One was called back as Michael Wilson was like a half yard too short. And then the tush push went to Clayton Tune. If any of those things go his way, we're talking about Kyler having over 20 fantasy points. And that was in his first game back. And with the Texans offense being as good as they are and the Cardinals defense being what they are, I think Kyler's going to have to throw a whole bunch in this one.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the key. I expect this to be a back and forth game. The Cardinals, I don't think, are going to be able to stop Houston, which means Kyler's going to have to, you know, kind of pull some of that Kyler magic again, which it's good news for Kyler. It's good news for the pass catchers. Everybody who has been concerned about Trey McBride, don't be concerned about Trey McBride, because I think he gets a whole lot of opportunity here. Look, there's a reason if you drafted and stashed Kyler, there's a reason you did it, and it is for games like this. So depending on what your quarterback situation is, depending on what the matchups are, Kyler is a really good start this week against Houston. So if you got him, a pretty good chance to get him in your lineup this week. We are not done with our Week 11 whip around. We got an interesting one in Green Bay between the Chargers and the Packers. And can the Jaguars get it going? We will find that out and more. Stick around for more of the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Chargers at the Packers. LA got in a track meet. They came up short against the Lions, but moved the ball up and down the field. They're going against a Packer defense that has not been great so far this season. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Chargers secondary has been kind of swish cheesy. Do you trust, though, any of the Packers wide receivers considering their inconsistency this year?
I think Jordan Love is in play as a streaming option this week, but as for his pass catchers, I can't with any sort of confidence be like, yeah, this is his go-to guy. Because last week, it was Jaden Reed, 22 routes, 5 targets. You had Romeo Doubs, 33 routes, 5 targets. Christian Watson, 32 and 7 targets. And you'd be like, okay, Christian Watson got the most volume. He must be the best one. Nope, he had the fewest yards of them all. The other two caught a touchdown, but without the touchdown, we're talking about Romeo Doubs and single-digit fantasy points. I know Jaden Reed had a big game, and he is the Packers wide receiver that I am feeling best about right now, but he's on the field the least of the three of them. So it is hard to trust any of them with any sort of confidence right now.
That's kind of the thing, is that you just don't know who it's going to be. Will it be Reed? Will it be Doubs? Will it be Watson? Although he's kind of been struggling this year. Will Dontavian Wicks rise up and score a touchdown somewhere along the way? I don't know. But spoiler alert, Jordan Love does make an appearance in my sleepers column this week. You can read that at NFL.com/sleepers. Comes out on Thursday. Look, I do like Love. I'm not sure which Packers receiver to trust. And for that reason, I'm not trusting any of them. One of them very well could have a good game, but trying to figure that out really is a roll of the dice. I would much rather go with a more sure thing in my fantasy lineup because they spread the ball around so much. Titans at the Jaguars. Speaking of spreading the ball around a whole lot, that's what we were worried about with the Jaguars offense. That hasn't really been the case. It's mostly been Christian Kirk with a little bit of Evan Engram thrown in there as well. The one thing we all seem to be coming to consensus on is that Trevor Lawrence might not be the guy we thought he was. Maybe he was a generational college quarterback. So far, he has not been a generational NFL quarterback. Do you start him or sit him against a Titans matchup that on paper at least seems pretty decent?
I'm sitting Trevor Lawrence this week. Quarterbacks who outscored him last week. I keep saying this on a bunch of shows because it's so funny to me. Tommy DeVito, both Falcons quarterbacks, both Saints quarterbacks, Clayton Tune and Zach Wilson. So both Jersey guys and a handful of backup quarterbacks right now. They all outscored Trevor Lawrence last week, but it's not a 1 week blip. Like Marcus was saying, he looks more like a league average quarterback right now than a generational talent. He has topped 18 fantasy points once. He ranks 17th in passing yards, 22nd in touchdowns and 28th in EPA per dropback. And the other thing is, like, while the Titans do look like a good matchup on paper, they run a lot of man coverage, and Trevor Lawrence has struggled against man coverage this year. So on a week where I think, like, I wrote about 7 quarterbacks this week because I think there's so many good starting options this week, you can easily get away from Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of where we are at this point. And I admit that I bought in to the Trevor Lawrence hype. I really thought he was going to have a big season this year. I think in a lot of places I stacked Lawrence with Calvin Ridley. Or maybe Christian Kirk. It's not really working out. And on top of it, the schedule the rest of the way, not particularly quarterback friendly. I'm with you, though. There are probably a lot better options. Here's the good news. I don't know if you drafted Trevor Lawrence that you drafted him to be your exclusive QB1. You probably drafted somebody else a little bit later, or you've added somebody off the waiver wire. So the good news is you probably have options. This is a week you might want to explore some of those options. Raiders at the Dolphins. We will see if Antonio Pierce can beat a team not residing in New Jersey. He's going to deal with the Dolphins and that high-powered offense. At the same time, they got to figure out how to get Devontae Adams going. Look, it's been great to see Devontae be happy. They're winning games. He's dancing in the locker room. Max Crosby is smoking cigars. It's a whole deal. But at some point, you can't consistently win games if Adams is not having big performances. Is this the week that we finally get a vintage Devontae game?
I think so. 2 weeks ago, 30% of the passes went his way, but that was a game where they blew out the Giants and Tommy DeVito, so they didn't have to throw a whole bunch. This past week, on 27 pass attempts, 13 of them went Devontae Adams' way. That's almost half of them. So they are consciously doing their best effort to get him the ball. He just had Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed on him a bunch last week, and he was upset. He said Sauce Gardner kept holding him and stuff. But now he gets the Dolphins, who are a much, much friendlier matchup. And they are going to put up plenty of points on their own. Maybe the best offense in football. So catch-up mode, we could be talking about Devontae Adams with 15-plus targets this week. So you keep starting him, and I think this is the vintage Devontae Adams game we've been waiting on.
Hey, shout out to Sauce Gardner for getting those veteran calls, being able to go and hold a guy like Devontae Adams and not get flagged for it. So shout out to you, man. Look, at some point, the Raiders have to just start force feeding the ball to their stars. And they're sort of doing it with Josh Jacobs, and that's kind of working out. They've got to get the passing game going. Aiden O'Connell is not able to push the ball downfield. They've got to figure out how to manufacture some opportunities for Devontae Adams. This feels like a week where you're going to have to do that because you're going to have to put up points. I am not convinced that the Raiders secondary is as good as the numbers have said. I think I looked at it. 7 of the 10 passing offenses they have faced are all in the bottom 10 in total passing yards in the NFL. So it might be partially about what the Raiders did. It might just be more that they've played a lot of really bad offenses so far this year. So we know this about the Dolphins. They are not a bad offense. So the Raiders are going to have to score.
They're all right.
They're all right. They're just okay. So the Raiders are going to have to score some points to stay in this one. Giants at the Commanders because the schedule maker said so. Who has more points this week, Saquon Barkley or Brian Robinson?
Brian Robinson. And it might be crazy to say. Ooh. Like, I say that with no hesitation.
Spicy, all right? I know.
Brian Robinson was your RB1 last week. I believe he is the only running back to finish as the RB1 in multiple weeks this season. And the thing is, the matchup is just like, I think both are in play. Both are starts. They're both in my Stardom Sit'em article. But I think the matchup is better for Brian Robinson. The Giants have allowed the third most rushing yards, second most rushing touchdowns. And this could be a game where, like, after the first quarter, the Commanders are up multiple touchdowns and they just continue to feed the beast that has been Brian Robinson. Plus, I think me and you, though, could have some fun with Saquon's quarterback. His favorite movie is Too Fast, Too Furious.
Right? He's one of us. One of us. One of we got to ask him which is his favorite, if we ever talk to him, like what his favorite in the series is. I mean, obviously, I guess it's Too Fast, Too Furious, right?
It's his favorite movie in of all the movies.
But like, you know, how does he feel about Fast X and you know, what's going to happen with the, you know.
Can we get him on in the offseason and just do a full, like.
We have to have him on and just, you know, we should just do an offseason. I'm putting this out here right now. Booking team, we got to get Tommy DeVito on. We're going to do a Fast podcast. We're going to do, you know, the Fast Cast or something with Tommy DeVito, where we go through each movie and he tells us what he thinks of them. And then we'll ask him some football questions once in a while, because I guess it's the NFL or something like that. I'm going to say Saquon has more fantasy points just because they have to lean on him.
Yeah.
What else do they have there, right? They've got to take pressure off Tommy DeVito. So it's whether it's running the ball to Saquon, whether it's dumping it off to Saquon, they've got to load him up. I mean, this should be a game where Saquon Barkley has 30 to 35 touches, because what else are they going to do, right? They can't throw the ball downfield. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, those guys aren't scaring anybody. They can't really get it to Jalen Hyatt consistently. Wandale Robinson kind of comes and goes. This has to be a huge Saquon game. So I think volume is going to be the key, and I think that's why Saquon scores more points. In the end, it's not going to be great for either guy. Like, don't get excited. It's not going to be a lot of fun to watch. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. We're back tomorrow to preview the rest of the Week 11 matchups.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.